It is January 4th. Today we are reading Matthew chapter 4. Before we begin, let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would just speak to us today. Lord, teach us about you. Show us something today that we can use to learn, to grow, and know better how to follow you and live like you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point in the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give to you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake, in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." From that time, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. All right, today there are several things that we want to talk about and look at. First, there is the temptation of Jesus. Even though Jesus was fully God, he was also man. And to be a suitable substitute for us, he had to go through temptation. And so Satan came to him and tempted him in several ways. The first temptation was one of physical need, that he was tempted to provide for himself instead of relying on God, or he was tempted to try to misuse the power that God gave him for selfish purposes. Jesus did many miracles, and at one point later we'll see the story of him feeding 5,000 people in a miraculous way. But to use supernatural power, God's power, just to fulfill his own desires would not have been right. And so he said, no, I will live by the word of God. I will do things God's way, not my own way. Next, he was taken to the temple, and Satan tempted him to throw himself off and force God to save him. Once again, the problem is that it's not doing things God's way. It's not doing things in God's timing. It's trying to force God to do things the way that we want him to, rather than going along and doing it God's way. And Jesus didn't do that. He also didn't do it because it would have been pride, and it would have been arrogant to try to intentionally force God to do something that was miraculous. Instead, Jesus chose to be humble and not proud, and chose not to draw attention to himself, chose not to do things his own way, but instead decided to wait and do things God's way. Had he done this, angels could have appeared and saved him, everyone could have seen it, and he could have become famous very quickly. But he knew that God had a different plan. God had a different way. And so we also need to follow that example and not try to do things in our own time, in our own way. God is not someone to be manipulated. We cannot force God to do things that we want him to do. We have to wait and pray and ask God to do things. But truthfully, we are in his timetable. He might not do things exactly how we want him to, or the way that we think that should be done, or in our timetable. When we want it to be done, it may be done later. But God has reasons for why he does things the way that he does them. And Jesus knew that. And so Jesus waited and didn't decide to follow Satan and do what was wrong. Finally, Satan offered to give him all the kingdoms of the world if he would worship him. But Jesus knew that the only one we are to worship is God. Satan wants our worship. He wants us to follow him and obey him. He is the enemy of God, and he wants to be worshipped just like God. He wants to take God's place, but he never can. He is not worthy of our worship. Yet many times people decide to worship other things other than God. But Jesus recognized that God is the only one that we should worship. Even if things are promised to me, even things if giving myself and my worship and my attention and all of myself to something could bring great riches and great wealth and power, nothing can take the place of God. And so Jesus knew that, and he would not worship something that was not God. Next, we see Jesus beginning to preach. And once again, Matthew refers to the Old Testament and a prophecy that Jesus would be a light shining in the darkness. And Jesus is that light. He provides light to our lives. He is the great light of the world, and he shines in the darkness. When we can't see other things, he can come through and guide and direct us. The next story is interesting. It tells about Jesus calling his first disciples. And it talks about how he was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and how he saw Simon and Andrew, and then James and John. He calls them and says, "Come, follow me. I will send you out to fish for people." And they leave everything and follow him. Now, this seems a bit strange at first. It sounds from this story as if this is the first time that they have ever seen them. But that is where it is valuable to be familiar with all of the Bible and the different stories of Jesus. because Matthew focuses on certain events. He doesn't tell every story. He doesn't tell every part of the life and ministry of Jesus. And it's interesting, if you look back at verse 12, we see a clue as to when all this happens. And it says, when Jesus heard that John had been put into prison. And so that kind of tells us when it is. And when John was put into prison, this is actually later on in the ministry of Jesus. In fact, if you look at other accounts of the life of Jesus, probably a year had passed between when he was baptized and went out to be tempted and the time when he was calling the disciples and they left their nets and followed him. They had been following him and listening to him teach for over a year. So why doesn't Matthew deal with this? Well, it is possible that Matthew was one of the followers of Jesus. That is definitely true. And he writes about things that he observed. It is possible that maybe he was not with Jesus during all of the time. He maybe was with him parts of the time between that, but this was when he really started following him on a daily basis and spending his entire time with him. But either way, because based on what we see in verse 12, where Jesus had heard that John had been put in prison, and some other clues as far as the time frame, when we compare it with other stories with Mark, Luke, and John, we see that a period of time has taken place here between verses 12 and 13, or even a little bit before verse 12. And so that is important to remember, that they leave and follow him, but it's not the first time they've ever seen him. They have been watching him, observing him, learning from him. And at this point, they decide to leave everything and give their lives to him. And I believe we are also called to do that. They leave everything and follow him. Now, Jesus may not call us to actually leave our jobs, but we do leave behind the things that we are used to. We leave our old life behind and follow him. And he gives us a rich, incredible life. And sometimes some people stay at their jobs and stay doing whatever they had been doing. Many people that Jesus impacted, they didn't quit their jobs. But a few of them, these disciples did. They actually left their family, left their jobs, and committed themselves to following Jesus full time. And this was a mark of true faith, of true belief. And so we see the disciples giving up the life that they knew for a life of following Jesus. And it was truly a better life. They didn't go back. They didn't say, oh, I don't like this. This is not what I wanted. My old life was better. Instead, they see following Jesus as so much greater than the satisfaction that they got from doing their previous jobs. Following Jesus was so much more fulfilling, so much more valuable to them, that they were willing to leave everything and follow him. And so the question is, what will you do? Will you follow Jesus? Are you willing to leave behind the things that are holding you back? I have seen and experienced in my own life that following Jesus is so much better than any alternative. And so I pray that you also will choose to follow him. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that as we look at this chapter, first, Lord, teach us to follow your example when we are tempted. Lord, Jesus, throughout the temptation, quoted scripture. He was familiar with the Bible and said, it is written, it is written, it is written, when he was tempted. He held on to what he knew you had said and chose to do things your way instead of doing it his own way. Lord, when we are tempted, bring your scripture, your word to mind, and help us remember that and cling to what you have said rather than trying to do it our own way. Help us to do it your way and to avoid falling into sin and doing things that are wrong. Lord, as far as following you, God, I pray that you would help us to follow you. Lord, there are so many things that are comfortable, are familiar, seem like they are so important, whether it's family or career. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be willing to let go of it. We may or may not have to leave it behind, but bring us to a point where believing in you is worth more than any of that, so that if we are asked to, if we had to, we would leave everything to follow you. Lord, guide us, direct us, whether we leave everything or not, whether we are ever asked to do that. Lord, we want to follow you. We want to obey you, because you are the only way to life. You are the only way to true satisfaction and contentment. So God, I pray you be with us today. Help us to follow and obey and do things your way. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.